Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with Rabbi Kushner about living a life that matters.
We've talked just briefly about the quest for integrity. You have a chapter on shalom. And you start with the story of Malden Mills in Lawrence, Massachusetts, and that terrible fire, which many of us are familiar with. For people that don't remember that story, it's a wonderful story of a person kind of pulling together what matters in their life.
A few weeks before Christmas, a fire broke out in this textile mill in Malden, in Lawrence, actually. And the whole place burned to the ground. The owner of the mill was an Orthodox Jew by the name of Aaron Feuerstein. And what he did was he told everybody in his payroll that you'll continue to get your salary for the next several months, so you don't have to worry about being without work on 2 weeks before Christmas. And he said, I'm not moving overseas and I'm not moving to North Carolina. We're going to rebuild Malden Mills right here in Lawrence, and you're going to have your jobs again. As he says, it's financially it probably was the wrong thing to do. I could have made a lot more money doing it some other way. But ethically, I couldn't do this to a community that's been so good to me. And this was a man who, out of his intense religious conviction, and obviously, Dick, not everybody who's a pious church or synagogue goer is a person of integrity.
Exactly.
Some people go to church and synagogue to reassure themselves that they're really not that bad. But Feuerstein is. Out of his personal integrity, he says, I've got to do what's the right thing, even if it costs the company money, even if it costs me a lot of money, which I'm sure it did. I spoke at a conference where he was the keynote speaker. And when my turn came, I was so impressed with him and with his story that I played on the name Feuerstein, which in German means the firestone. And I said, this man is the man, he is the stone that survived the fire because it was whole. It was not cracked. It didn't burn. And it not only survived the fire, it absorbed all that heat and sent that heat back out into the world in that cold winter after the mill burned down. But you see, life is not easy, but it's simple when you're a person of integrity. You don't have to say, how much can I get away with? All you have to do is say, what's the right thing to do? And you do it. And you know something? It never hurts as much as you thought it would.
Well, you know, it's such a contrast to the economy's stupid mentality of the last decade. And integrity is something, you know, my very first question about what about the person who says they're not living, you know, in relationship with God or that God is, you know, there's a Carl Jung saying, bidden or not, God is present. There is a presence of God in our lives. And there is I believe that business people who are making and entrepreneurs who are making decisions, looking out only for money and not out of what is right, I believe they know in their heart it's not right. I believe there's an unsettledness about that. I think that is the whole issue of shalom. That is the whole issue of if you want to be a person that enjoys life, this is the way to live. And yet, why is it such almost a voice crying in the wilderness in American culture today?
Dick, I can't tell you how many people have suggested that I write a book called When Good Things Happen to Bad People because they are so troubled by people getting away with this. And my answer is they don't get away with it. My answer is you pay for everything you take in life in one currency or another. And this is perhaps the cornerstone of my religious faith. I believe in the same way that our bodies are fashioned so that certain foods and certain lifestyles are healthy for us and others are toxic, and you can eat and drink too much and smoke too much and abuse your body and think you're getting away with it, but it's going to catch up with you. I'm convinced our souls are made in the same way. Our souls are made to be honest and cheerful and helpful. And when you do that, you just feel right. We've all had the experience of going out of our way to do something nice for somebody and feeling so good afterwards. You feel lighter and happier, and you have the sense, this is the way I ought to feel. It's like all those endorphins going around in you when you've worked out at the gym. And people who are selfish and deceitful and mean, they're acting against the nature of their bodies, and sooner or later, it's going to show up on them. Even if the only punishment is that they will miss out on the real satisfaction of being a genuine human being.
When we've talked about family and friends, you have a chapter on being a best actor in a supporting role. And that was, to me, a very rich chapter because it really, very few people are the superstars in life. Very few people meet the traditional societal descriptions of truly successful. But a lot of people can play the supporting role character very well. How did that whole theme come to your mind?
If there is, as I suggest in the book, a basic human need for significance, for knowing you matter to the world, and if you're not a headline maker, if you're not a superstar, how do you get that satisfaction? You do it by being best actor in a supporting role. You have a friend who has cancer and needs chemotherapy. Her story is a life and death struggle. Your story is behind the scenes, driving her home from appointments, doing shopping for her, running her carpool when she doesn't feel up to it. Your church is doing something wonderful in Haiti or in Appalachia or in Bosnia. You can't leave your family and do that work. You contribute what you can. You send your money to charity, and you make all these good things happen. Communities can do what single individuals can't, but communities can only do it if every single individual contributes. That's one of the ways in which you gain the sense of, I am important to the world.
You know, you have another chapter on why we matter in the world, and you talk about Jacob reminiscing in Egypt, and it comes down to goodness and love, and you talk about, and I'm actually reaching this point in my life, and I guess that means I'm getting old, but when you talked about when he was young, he wanted to change the world, and he had an idea of what it would mean to be truly significant and successful. But then as he got older, he fell in love with someone. We changed each other. You get a different sense of why you matter in the world.
Dick, in the synagogue, we read that chapter every year, somewhere around December. And I am always moved to tears reading it.
Really?
Jacob looks back on his long, eventful life, and he only remembers two things. He remembers that when he was a teenager and didn't like himself, God appeared and said, it's okay, you'll outgrow it, you'll grow to be a good person. And I've known that experience. And he remembers when he was young, he loved somebody, and she loved him. And that drew him out of himself, and that permitted him. This is Jacob, who would not give his hungry brother a bowl of soup without getting something more valuable in return, is now prepared to work 7 years for no wages to win the heart of somebody he loves. He becomes a different person because he's loved. And he becomes a different person because he reaches out and loves somebody and changes her life and redeems her from isolation. And this is what counts. I quote my teacher, Professor Abraham Joshua Heschel, who said, when I was young, I admired clever people. As I grew older, I came to admire kind people. Mm-hmm. And that's an evolution I think we all go through. The sense that what really matters in life is not winning, but loving, sharing, reaching out and including other people. That's where our immortality will be found.
Leaving the world a better place. And in conclusion, you talk about what the Talmud says about Jacob.
Yes, two sages, their conversation is recorded. One says, our ancestor Jacob never died. The other one says, how can you say that? It says right in the Bible, he died, he was embalmed in Egypt and buried in Hebron. The other one says, no, a good person, even in death, is still alive. And that, I think, is the promise we can all latch on to.
This concludes our conversation with Rabbi Kushner on living a life that matters. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse. Thank you for listening to The Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's KINDLINGS. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.